And then some people say, well, I have three or four or five gurus. I've heard. They tell me. So I don't like what this person has said, so I'm going to follow what this guru has said. How can you be selective that what this guru says, if it's convenient to you, you do. What's not convenient, you go to this guru. And then some people even say, oh, that's my root guru. This is not my root guru. Oh, my goodness.
What is a root guru? A root guru is a person that made you turn your mind to the Dharma and influence you the most, and help you the most, and nurture you the most, and even financially, materially helped you so much. And it's been there. So when the person says something that you don't like, oh, I go to my other guru, or I find a new guru, and it shows you a lack of spiritual conviction, you will not get anywhere. You will not get anywhere. If we find a guru, we stick to it. If we find a teacher, we stick to it. Why? Anything in life, we stick to what we have found, and we will get a new chance.
We shouldn't switch jobs every week, switch friends every week, switch wives every week, switch husbands every week. Well, except Paris. We shouldn't do that. Why? There's no happiness in that. Changing often doesn't mean happiness. So therefore, people who wish to follow Kichara House must abide by our spiritual rules. If you have promised to do something in the center, you keep your promise. You don't call up this person and say, well, I'm busy, I'm this, I'm that, I can't, I've got to do that, I've got to do that, and then just wave it off, and then show up and gallivant in when you're ready, when you're happy. Why? What's the example it's setting for everybody else? Why do we spend so much? Why do we put so much effort? Look at us. We're here late at night listening to Dharma teachings. We're there doing talk. We're setting up. We're volunteering. We're working. We've got the outlets opening. We want to do our retreat center. We want to visit Ganden. We've gone on pilgrimages. We've done so much offerings to the monastery. How did this come about? By everybody saying, I'm busy, I'm busy, I'm busy, or people dedicating themselves. So for people who are not committed to the center, and they keep disturbing center mentors or calling or contacting center members, my question is, why? Why? Am I saying don't come to the center? No. Come to the center. Come pray. Come meditate. Come learn. Get involved and donate. Donate your time. Donate your skill. Donate your knowledge. Donate your help. Donate money. Donate whatever you can to benefit others. If you do none of that, yet you still are involved with the center at your convenience, I ask myself, why? Why? And there are people like that, who go into the centers, collect people's numbers, and go back and contact and never show up at the center, and just contact and contact and call and call and make contact. I think to myself, why? And that makes me very sad. Why? Because if they don't get what they want, they don't get what they need, they're not the type to leave you in quiet and peace, they will do something to do some damage. They usually do that. And in every center around the world, we have to be very wary of that. Look, our allegiance should be to the Lama. Our allegiance and loyalty should be the Lama. Why? Who is teaching us the Dharma? Am I trying to start some kind of warfare here? No. That is the truth. Truth be told. Our allegiance should be to the Dharma. Our allegiance should be to the Dharma Center. Our allegiance should be to the Dharma students who give themselves to the Dharma Center. Our allegiance should be to the Dharma Center, and especially to the people in the center working. Our allegiance should be to the committee, to the subcommittee, to the liaisons in our case. Our allegiance should be to them, right or wrong. Why? If someone says something about parents, everything they say or some things they say could be right or wrong, but we're certainly show our allegiance because our parents are kind to us. Similarly, our allegiance should be to the people who run the center, who give time to the center, and who give so much energy and years and years and years to the center. Because without them, there would be no center. Not these people who flit in and out once a year, once every 10 years, as they like. They contribute nothing to the center, but detriment and bad example. So our allegiance should be to the members first. Our time should be given to the members first. Why? Because the members are more and these people are less. Less must follow more, not more follow less. And they wish to say negative things or choose to say negative things and all that stuff. We have to be very careful and we have to be very skillful. We have to check why. That's very, very important. Why? One rotten apple can infect some more apples in the basket. And it would be a horrible shame and crime if a new person is influenced by a person who has other motivations or who is not committed or simply is just very lazy. Simply is very lazy. They can affect them very much. That's happened last year. It's happened last year with a few of our members where ex-mentor members have called them up, talked to them, have them go out, go party with them, and say all kinds of negative things to them. And these people I've talked to the people who did that. I talked to the people who were the victims of that. And it's all cleared now. But it's happened last year with a few people, with a few wonderful people. With a few wonderful people, if they had fallen the wrong way, they wouldn't be here right now in this room. They wouldn't be. Why did I do that for them? Why did I went out of my way to have coffee with them. I went to talk to them, send them gifts. Why? To bribe them back? No. I am confident in what I'm doing. I am confident. I'm confident in myself. I have no fears of what I'm doing. I'm confident. Because I know where my motivations lie. So therefore, I have no problem with that. So therefore, when this happens, we need to nurture and help each other. My message here is not to chase away people who are unhappy or disgruntled. But sometimes we need to leave them alone for a while and let them think things out. Because if we keep supporting people or contacting people who act in this way, are we helping them? Do we have the wisdom to help them? Are we encouraging them? We have to think very carefully. So our allegiance is to the center. Our allegiance is to the committee. Our allegiance is to the people who show up all the time to make offerings, for meetings, to volunteer at the outlets, to do pujas, to do talks, to do work. Our allegiance is to those people who go out on the streets and give food on our behalf. That's who our allegiance should be to. And if we have so little time, we should spend our time with those people who do all that. Why? They need our support. And by the way, for those people giving food on weekends, one of these weekends I will come with you and I'll give food. I want to give food. I'm very excited to give food. Because I've been doing that for years anyway on my own. I buy things and run around the streets and give it incognito, meaning I don't take any students with me. So I just can't wait to do that. So these days I'm surviving and busy. So I'll squeeze my schedule out. I'll tell my DVD player that I'm busy. And I'll make an appointment with you, and I'll tell my DVD player that I have another appointment. That's right. Here, everybody says appointment, but in America, when you say appointment, it's something big. It's like with a CEO or some big boss or your boss or some superior. Here, it's like I have an appointment. I'm like, oh, really? Who? What? With my dog. Oh. I mean, I hear that all the time. So silly. So who should we have allegiance to? Our Dharma Center. Who should we have allegiance to? The people who work hard in our Dharma Center, whether they're right or they're wrong. Why? They are allowed to be wrong as they are right sometimes. So the minute they're wrong, we side up with other people, say, see, I told you. So one I told you, another I told you, another I told you. And then the whole thing gets dissolved. Why? Everybody's here on a volunteer basis. They have hearts too. We should think. So those who give time, energy, resources, help, and work and effort for many years. Those are the people we should give allegiance to. Those are the people we should be loyal to. Those are the people we should back up. Those are the people we should ask for help or how or spend time with. Or one of the committee members, one of the liaison members, we should call them up and say, I recognize you did such good work. Can I take you out for tea? Say thank you to them. They need a thank you too. I'm not saying don't take care of the poor me's of the world who are forever saying poor me, poor me, poor me. But look, there's a benefit if we focus giving tea to this person or this person. And it makes me very, very sad and disappointed for some people when they actually contact our members, they don't come. And they ask for monetary help. That has come to my attention already. And I'm very sad about that. Because I saw that in America. I saw that here. It's universal because people are people. And I don't like that. If you come to the center and you work and you do your best and sometimes you need help and you ask other members, it's none of my business. But when you don't get involved at all and you start doing like that, something's wrong. Something is definitely wrong. Okay, so that is something very sensitive for all center members all around the world, everywhere, to realize that there are people like that and that's their level. That's where they are right now and we need to forgive them. We need to forgive them by not hurting them, but we don't need to be involved either. Compassion doesn't mean being stupid. Compassion doesn't mean going along their ways. Compassion can mean saying no to them. Like the Dalai Lama says, if someone's going to come and beat you on the street and they're going to rob you, you don't sit there and practice compassion and let them. You fight them off. You don't strike them back, but you stop them and fight them and avoid it. Compassion not sit there and be beaten up and get your wallet taken away. That's not compassion. That's stupidity. That's what he didn't say in such vulgar language, but that's what he said. So the same thing. If we have people coming to center like that, being compassionate to them is not compassion, it's taken advantage of. So we need to be very aware. I don't like to talk about that. I don't like to speak about that, but that's the truth. That is the absolute truth. But anytime any of these people wish to reform, apologize, and be an active member of the center, they are welcome. They are welcome. But they need to make the move, because we're doing all the work, the hard work. We're here working right now. Right now. Saying this is not easy for me, listening to it is not easy for you. But we need to get this out, we need to talk about it, and we need to get it cleared so that we can make our center grow. And that's my motivation. That's my motivation. If I want to pinpoint people, I can give you several names, but that's not going to help anything. I'm not scared. No, I'm not, but it doesn't help. So what happens is, be loyal to your center, be loyal to the committee, be loyal to the people that are working hard and that are involved. Be loyal to them. And then your energy will be well spent at this time. When we reach a higher level, perhaps we can turn them around. If the gurus of the past haven't turned them around, I don't think we can. I don't think we can. No offense intended. All right? So that's very understood. So therefore, we need to take care of new students. We need to take care of people coming in. And I implore and I request the new committee people to do that. Surely, the 10 committee that's elected and the subcommittees along with that can do that. We're not asking you to throw in $10,000 a week. We're not asking you to run up and down Bukit Bintang in a bikini. Heaven no. No, heaven no. Imagine Crystal in a bikini running up and down Bukit Bintang. Maybe she'll get some reaction in Brickfields, but... Don't cackle so loud, Shirley. Crystal will get you back. She's a powerful umze. She'll sit you next to her and chant very loud. Can you imagine Koki in a bikini? White. Just visualize that, him walking up there. They say, hi, Milo Fall. Bill Keith will be rubbing his stomach again. Bill has a stomach fetish. All right. Henry laughed because he's already received it. All right. And some people walk in center, they just don't like it. It's not their lineage, it's not their practice. It's okay. As I said to you all before, it's all right. Malaysia has 28 million people. Kuala Lumpur has what, 6 million? 6 million, right? 2 million. Kuala Lumpur has 2 million people. Maybe 9, 10, 12 Dharma centers. So we break that down. Everybody take 100,000. No problem. So we can take 100,000 people in our center, no problem. We just sit them on the roof outside in the parking area. We can rent Melinda's and she's moving out. No problem. We can set up tents. When we have Dharma talks, we can, you know, put speakers all over the place. Heck, we can just buy the whole row of houses, knock all the walls down, make one big center, la. I mean, you know, 100,000 is more than enough. Why should we have everybody? Share. Let everybody go around. Why should everybody be attracted to us? Some people in their previous life didn't practice the tradition. Some people don't have affinity. Some people, our method's not going to be right. No problem. So they come to the center and say, oh, and I'll say, oh, namaste, the door is on the left. No, you don't be so rude. You're not me. It's okay. And they come and criticize Temuramchi. Oh, I like that. Is that a llama or a supermodel? You tell them both. And if they don't believe you, show them the door. And if they don't like Temuramchi, they don't like, oh God, he sounds like a used car salesman. Thank you. I'm trying to sell you something used. Dharma's been used many times. I'm a used car salesman. What to do? And you guys are the crowd that likes that style. Da da da. All right, with all these choices of llamas out there, look where you're at. That's your luck and my luck. There. So if they don't like your llama, never mind. Why he look like that? Why he talk like that? Never mind. Don't ever be offended if they don't like your llama. Don't ever be offended if they don't like your center. Don't ever be offended. Everybody has their own affinity. What's the big deal? No big deal at all. None whatsoever. So, and most important is we must set a good example. In the center, we must talk correctly. We must avoid meat in the center. We must not smoke ciggy buds inside the center in the toilets. Nobody does. We must set our offerings correctly. It must be clean. We must be organized. We must smile. We can have bad days. And most important, as I told you, we cannot be the I don't know chorus. Remember we talked about that earlier? The I don't know chorus. Everybody set up. There's one group here, another group here. A new Dharma student walks in. They ask you a question and maybe says, I don't know. And the committee says, I don't know. And the VPC says, I don't know either. Not the extra word either. Just I don't know. I don't know. And then JP raises his hand. Can we sing a cappella? And then I'm the grand maestro here. I grow my hair long, be that Japanese, whatever, I forgot his name. And I go, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, we don't need to go to a center and people don't know. As I gave you an example earlier, we walk into the hospital. Guess what? I have pains. I'm coughing. I'm wheezing. I'm not well. I feel dizzy. I'm going to puke. I'm going to throw up and I can't stop pooping. How? The doctor says, I don't know. Oh, come. You go there, you're dying. You're dragging your entrails. Your stomach is hanging out from your butt. You're dragging your entrails, your eye. And then the doctor says, I don't know. And the nurses chime in, I don't know. How? So when they come to KH, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. And you're like, what? So, like I said, of course you don't know. You don't know everything. I don't know everything. So you say, I don't know, I will find out. And then they go, oh, that's very nice. How nice. So that word, I don't know, must be gone. And if we can't get rid of it immediately because it's habitual, like smoking ciggy buds, you know, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Then slowly we lessen this and we lessen I don't know. It's like an addiction. Go to an I don't know help group, you know. I've said I don't know 5,000 times this year and I want to stop. I'm not taking responsibility for myself. I'm not pushing myself. I just don't want to know. And I don't want everybody else to do the work and I want everybody else to tell me so I don't have to investigate, read, or check. So therefore, I'm an addictive I don't know sayer because I'm a lazy monster. I confess. That's right. And then James offers his shoulder and David cries. We don't want that. We don't want these addictive I don't know. We got to stop saying I don't know. We got to stop. We have to learn how we challenge ourselves, especially the outlets. Very important. Very, very important. All right. So if we do this, unhappy students will be less. There will always be one or two unhappy people wherever, whatever we do. I mean, people hated the Buddha. There are people who actually hate the Buddha past and present. There are people that hate the Dalai Lama. Oh my God. They even shot Mahatma Gandhi. They shot him. The person who starved himself to get freedom for his own country. He never raised one weapon against anyone. He freed his whole country, millions of people, hundreds of millions of people from colonialism by starving himself. And they shot him. What about Mother Teresa? You know how many assassination attempts? So people don't like them. Look at us. Never mind la. So one or two people don't like Temuraji. Omani Pemehon. What about I have a closet that's full of kites. And when they get on my nerves, I give them a kite. What do I do with this? Fly it. Why should I fly a kite? Visit Malaysia, you'll find out. So, who cares? There's going to be always one or two disgruntled people, whatever. And there are some people you help, you give. There are some students in the past I've given financial help to, paid off their bills, bought furniture for them, even bought clothes for them, buy them many dinners, helped their families many times. But when you ask them for help, they say no. Many, many times there in the past. My older students know who. Many times. But it's okay. I say whatever. So my point is there'll be always some disgruntled people. It's all right. Take care of the new people. Introduce them. Introduce them. It's like when the salmon spawn. They go upstream. Some die. But if there's someone there to help them, to push them up, they all survive. Just like that, some strong newbies survive and they get better and better and stronger as they look around. They have intelligence and look deeper. But some don't. So we need to take care of them. So everybody should take 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 phone numbers and talk, guide, help, and share, and introduce. Make it a warm, happy place. And the new committee members, there's a lot of young, fresh, happy people who like to run around and, you know, jump all over here, jump there, drink coffee, drink this, drink that, and again, throw up and have a good time and say that, you know, they're young. So if you like to do that. Call some of these people out. Have Dharma events. Have karaoke sessions. Yes, have karaoke sessions. Have little picnics. I don't know where you can have a picnic. Don't have it near the highway or anything because you're going to be smoking, sucking in all that smoke. Maybe sometimes gather at one of the students' houses. Sometimes. For little potlucks. Get together and watch DVDs. Let's have a Dharma DVD party. You know, you can watch Kundun and talk to each other about it and ask each other questions and everybody can say, I don't know, in unison. Why not? Get together. Sometimes go out and see movies. You don't have to see Dharma movies. Get together and see movies. The people who work for the center, the staff, from time to time, I sponsor their movies. I send them to go see movies. Sometimes I go with them. Buy everybody a hot dog, watch a movie, and then go home. I do my mantras through the movie. Sometimes I get bored. Sometimes I like it. And so we should do that. We should think of different programs. Ben? We should think of... You want a Panadol? I think you should have a Panadol. You don't look too well. I'm stocked here. I've got a lot of drugs. Someone give him a water. You take two Panadols, it'd be better, all right? And this one takes for your throat. I know you're not coughing, but it takes could just suck on something here. Yeah, it's fine. Then you feel better. You look like a sucker. All right. How do you think his face got so thin like that? And sucking on him. I bet you when he goes to sleep, he has a pacifier. It's in a golden Damaru case. You know one of those cases, Damaru, he opens it up and he's like... It's probably even gold-plated. Gold-plated, yes. Take, you'll feel better. And do me a favor, don't breathe in my direction, thanks. Now, where was I? I like you, I just don't like your germs and your flu and your virus, so if you cough, look at him. Oh, no, you better not. He looks pretty far gone already. Chris is like... Don't cough on Wendy. She weighs 3 kgs. Phoebe's scared. Phoebe's like, you want a white glove like Michael Jackson? Protect yourself. Okay, so yes, we should do that. We should take care of people. We should get together. Committee should think, how do we take care of new people? Take them out. If we can't afford things, go to simple places. You can go to Mientian, hang out and talk. Watch videos. Bring your laptop and watch a video somewhere and talk about the Dharma. Maybe you don't want to bring it to your house. Maybe your parents is there and you bring him. Oh, you're bringing another strange man home. JP. That means stop your attachment thinking. Yeah. And then Shin brings home a strange man. It'll be that for her. Curtains. And the Dharma Center for you, sister. No. So we can go out, we do that. It'll be nice. And when we open up our new section, when we open up our new extension area, it'll be very exciting. We should have a little area where newbies can gather with oldies or medium bees. Yes. So the VPC committee, the KHC committee, or these people designated can go there and meet these people. They can have video sessions. They can talk. They can order pizza. And they just relax and get to know people more. It'll be very nice. Sometimes take them to Kichara Paradise. Kichara Paradise is very nice. Why? It's open 24/7. And if it's not, just call up Juan, she'll open it for you. And it's very friendly, it's very nice. There's plenty of food down there. Just don't walk around with Sal Chan. And it's beautiful. It's got videos there. You hang out at Nessa too. Why not? Just don't walk around with Sal Chan. She attracts interesting people. And she likes to donate things, you know, her bag. So you go to SS2 without you know who, don't tell her I said so. And if you see her walking down the street, you just yell fire. Why do you yell fire? Just in case someone wants to grab something for her, you can avoid it. SS2 is a nice place to hang out, you know, in our Kichara Paradise. You know why you're talking, have them do a few pearls? Make merit law. Make them do it. So these newbies, we should do that. It's like a social program. We should start that. Buddhism doesn't really have that, but we should start it because we're modern. You see, traditional learning places in Tibet are not for lay people. Lay people in Tibet, except for the elite, I mean very elite, like, you know, like royalty and very, very ministers, you know, kids or whatever, they have special access. Otherwise, normal lay people do not go for Dharma teachings. They don't go to, on a normal basis, they go for public Dharma teachings once in a blue moon, some erudite Lama teaches, but they don't go to the center and teach. All those places are for monks and nuns, for ordained people. And that's just the way it is. So therefore, in Dharma senses here, it's filled with lay people. It's very little Sangha. It's the opposite phenomenon here, so that we have a whole new culture going on here. Instead of going to a Dharma center where people know what's going on, we go to a Dharma center where people don't know what's going on. It's filled with lay people who don't know what's going on. So we need to do a counterculture. We need to start something new. So we should take them out on videos, take them on movies, get on social gatherings. And then when a new place opens, we should have a little room there to do something. I don't know. Just do something there. Get together. It's very, very important. And the committees can talk about that because we haven't planned out the rooms. So instead of having huge chapels, we should have rooms to help newbies. We should. It's more important. And more people will come in. More and more people. Much, much more. So we have a room with videos. We can watch videos, Dharma videos or whatever, and just relax. Laugh and have fun. It's very important. So what I want the committee to focus on is that. To take care of the newbies. Very important. And that's what I want to talk about. All right? Numbers. In every center, that's necessary. If any Dharma center in the world wants to grow, we need to take care of the new people. We need to have a guiding hand. We need to have people who organize. We need to have people to show them what to do, how to offer a kata, where to sit. Are they allowed to sit on a chair? Very fundamental, basic questions that newbies frequently ask questions we can answer. To direct them to the bulletin board. To show them our website. To introduce them our different departments. To let them know what Tsongkhapa is. To let them know who your Dharma teacher, your Dharma instructor is. Let them know what our throne is. Who's the Dalai Lama? What's Tara? Why? Who set up the center? Who's the committee? Introduce them. We can do it. That's a lot of work. That's a lot of things to do we can do instead of worrying. And we all need to do that. All Dharma centers do that. Your Dharma center will grow. If you let the people come in, that's it. And you just leave them on their own, that's it. And if you're not organized when the Lama goes to different places to teach and all these people gather, you don't contact them, you don't get their names, you don't talk to them. For the older students, you lose a chance. Very serious. So the liaisons and committee must organize that when we have Dharma talks to meet people, how? What's your strategy? One person, a few people, how do you give your card, how to contact, how? You have to do that. You don't leave it to chance. You don't leave it to chance. A center and its members must be, number seven, a center and the members must be confident and have knowledge of your tradition, of your practice, of the benefits of the practice. When I say practice, I don't mean extensive practice in Tantra. I mean the very basic practices we have, such as our chanting book. At least we should be familiar. Committee should sit down together and learn what is in our book. What are the deities for? What are they good for? What are some basic meditations? What is refuge? How to prostrate? So we should take our KH prayer book and start with that and familiarize ourselves with that and have meetings and talk about that and to ask each other questions and write down what we don't know about the prayers so that when new people come, we even know how to direct them to a certain prayer. How helpful that is. That's very practical. That's free. That's accomplishable. That's what we can do right now instead of bickering in meetings about raising $5 billion. Very important. And we should know what our tradition is. We should know where we stem from. And all of us, okay, listen to this carefully. All committee and all members must have a grounded history, a grounded information on Buddha Shakyamuni's life and Lama Tsongkhapa's life. This is so basic. All of us. I didn't ask you to run and get the Kala Chakra from His Holiness and come back here and stay in a 13-year retreat. Read Buddha Shakyamuni's life story and be familiar with it. Read Lama Tsongkhapa's stories and be familiar so you can tell people what's about, who he is and what he is. Why do you have a statue of that Tibetan man with a yellow hat on an altar? Why? Who is he? What is he holding? Those are very simple and very fundamental. So if we are practiced, then we know what to do. Instead of saying, oh, I practice at home. I work from behind. Those are lame excuses. Do you know why? It's us giving us an excuse not to push ourselves more. And we can push ourselves more. That's why we're here. We can. So those things we can accomplish. So in meetings, what else can we do? We can get together. Even sometimes when we have meetings together, we can do readings on Lama Tsongkhapa's life and share with each other and test each other. How fun. And when newbies come and say, guess what? I'm going to teach you about Lama Tsongkhapa and I'm going to test you. If you win, I give you a free nasi lemak. If you don't, you buy me, okay? They say, that's fun. I mean, $5, $6, they can't afford that, buy for them, never mind, even they lose. I mean, make fun. Make it fun. Make it interesting. Those are very basic. If you don't know what's going on, they walk in the center. Who's Tara? Oh, Tara's there. You're pointing at Shakyamuni. But I thought... But I thought Tara got... Yeah, Shakyamuni got what? But it's been breast reduced. It was a little heavy for Shakyamuni. Where God? Shakyamuni went for breast reduction. Can you believe that? Oh, no, it's not Tara. It's breast. It's Shakyamuni. Can I walk in the center? People ask you... I don't know. If you say, I don't know, it's bad karma, you're going to hell. There's a new rule I made. Right, Buddha? That's right, see? It helps to be a ventriloquist. That's right. That's right. Just kidding. So we should do these basics. So instead of, in meetings, what can we do? We can form groups. We can give numbers. We make a contact list and give it to maybe. Yeah, we give it to the liaisons. We give it to the other groups so everybody knows how to connect with each other. Shin's a great coordinator. She's great on the computer, and she's free sometimes. Great at that. JP, he's an eloquent speaker. Yes, he is. And yes, she is. We can do that. These are things that we can do right now. How do you want to make things get going? How do you want to do something you're dying to do? I'm giving you methods right now. That is necessary, accomplishable, free, easy, and we can do it. I'm giving you methods right now from 20 years of center experience. And every center in the world should do this. Every center who wants to grow. Every center. We shouldn't snatch people from other centers. Send spies there and tell them, your lama's like that, your lama's like this. Oh, I saw your lama. Oh, come to our center, our lama's. No. Our center is bigger by 3 feet. Come to our place. You can fit. No. Leave people alone. 100,000 for everybody in the city is more than enough, dearie. You imagine all of you as taking care of the newbies. Everybody has 10,000. Hello. Robert takes care of 3,000 people. Hello. He sets up his own Yahoo group. Hello, I'm alive, and take refuge, send 3,000. Not possible, come on. Then imagine, even if we fit 100,000 people, members on our website, how? We're going to have to put 42-inch screens together to have a whole picture of everybody in our group. Impossible. Don't worry, other people go to other centers, go encourage them. Every lineage, every lama is fine, whatever their affinity, go encourage them. They don't like your center, go. They find affinity somewhere else, go. No problem. Why? If you force them against their will, or you say something against their lineage or lama and you bring them here, what benefit is that? You're not a Dharma practitioner. You're just a businessman or a businesswoman. No, I don't like that. I don't like that. You shouldn't like that, and that's wrong. Remember, maybe 10, 12, 13 centers in the city, 100,000 each is more than enough. Heck, we just give me 10,000 enough, lah. I don't need no 100,000, too much. Imagine I sit there, 100,000, the speaker goes off, I'm going to use a bullhorn. Hello! Zhong Kao Pa! And then someone in the back going, ah! Ugh. Don't want la. And then you guys are already sitting there like this now. If 10,000 people come, you're going to be standing up getting teachings. No room to sit. Encourage. Don't steal people from other centers. Never. Don't ever put other centers down. Don't ever put other lamas down. All centers should never, ever do that. It's bad ethics. It's bad karma. It's bad policy. And it's a bad representation of Dharma. And it's wrong. Wrong. Never. So our center, how can we win people over? With our knowledge. With our effort. With our smiles. With our good organization. That's how we can win people over. If we do that, they'll be flocking to us. Why is it... Red Cross doesn't need to advertise people. People automatically think, hey, I want to do some charity. I'm going to join Red Cross for a year or 2 years. Why? Because they're established. They're organized. How did they become established? They're organized. Very simple. So we can organize that. We can organize. If we're organized, I guarantee you, all right? Remember what I said. There's a lot of witnesses here. If we are organized, people will come in and say, I want to help. Give me something to do. If we're organized. Already that's happening in the outlets. People are walking and say, hey, I want to help. I want to volunteer. It's happening in the outlets. So we got to do that. That's what committee can do. Come on, committee can do that, right? It's free. It's easy. Kick your brains in. If you go, if you feel lethargic, you can't get to a meeting, pour some coffee in your ear. Go. More direct to the brain. Can you imagine, Koki? Oh, no, another meeting. He looks like Hubba the Judd. Another meeting. So what he's doing is he drinks coffee, goes down to his stomach, and the coffee gets lost because there's a couple of stomachs. And then the oxygen comes in, and then it digests, and it goes into the bloodstream, and it gets diluted because some of it goes down there, some goes here, and a little bit goes to the brain. So he's like, awake for a few minutes. What's the point? Ayo, pour in your ear directly. It goes right in there. Unless your chai won't come out this way. What? Just pour in directly there, Koki. Okay, got committee meeting. Shoot in the coffee. Yeah. That's right. Look at Shin. She's got 9 fingers and a pen. She doesn't have 10 fingers, but her fingers and a pen. She's always ready to write down notes to help the Dharma. I noticed just now. JP's interesting, too. He's kind of like a Paul lineage. He does that, and Paul does this. I don't know how he does it. They all have the pen lineage. Twirl the pen around. Oh, here we go. You ever see Paul when he's talking to you? And JP's like, I don't know, he's some kind of adult doll. Adult play doll. You need to go to the adult bookstore and buy one of those blow-up dolls, and it's JP. Okay, so get the imagination out of your mind, David. When I said that, I saw David going, he was imagining JP as an adult blow-up doll. Rajasar is like, oh! Rajasar is a nice, decent lady from the 1940s. She's young, but she's been transported by time here, by the time machine. So when you talk anything near Bopali, she's like, oh! That's right. You cannot. No, you cannot. She's a very decent lady. I'll tell you one thing. Her name ain't Paris. Paris, if you don't talk about it, she's like, oh! That's right. If you don't talk about it, she freaks out. Ayo. I even got Ben stop playing with his nose and laughing now. Ben the whole time is sitting there like this, you know. And when I say something interesting, he's like, just now he took it out, he's looking at me laughing. That's right. Okay, so we need to be knowledgeable. We need to know the basics. We need to know Lama Tsongkhapa's life story well. Come on, read it a few times. Test each other. Meet up for meetings and tests. Have fun tests with each other. Don't wait for Rinpoche to give you a test all the time. Do it yourselves. Know Buddha Shakyamuni's life story well. Find out about Ganden. Do research on the history of Ganden. Do research as much as you can and compile something simple. So don't compile 12 pages thesis or 50 page thesis. Compile one page, something simple. People know what's Ganden, how many monks, what they're doing, what's divided. The departments, how many departments are in Ganden? Find out. Explain to people. Explain to people what's a puja. What do you do a puja for? All those things you can explain to newbies. And that is the committee's responsibility. Committees, please write all this down. Our president is in Singapore having a meeting. When she comes back, let her know. Let her know. She's a nice lady. If she has a method, I'm sure she'll help. Yes, we need to do that. Very important. So we need to know these things. We need to know about a center, when it started, give some history. Know about your lama, give some history. Your lama's 32, he's tall, he's gorgeous, he's fabulous. And they suspected that he was Shakyamuni or Buddha or Dalai Lama's younger brother, but he's not. I mean, you know, whatever. No, just kidding. Do not tell him I'm an emanation of a hot dog. I'll be very upset. Do not. I don't want to be a hot dog. Hamburger, I don't mind that hot dog. Okay, so you should know these things. And who's our center member? Who's the liaison? Liaison of what? Henry's the liaison of what? The toilet? Oh. I don't know. Thank you very much. We make an appointment. How do we make an appointment? You write your name and your number on our cage toilet and say, call me. I don't know what to do. Let people know. I mean, we have to know these things. It's called organization. And all our members can do that. Our committee members can do that. And it's very good. Organize it. And also, so, That's very simple, very nice. If we have this firm knowledge and we have some knowledge of the basics, when new people come in, we know what to say. I'm sure Kenny can do that. You can learn up on Buddha Shakyamuni. You can learn up on Lama Tsongkhapa. You can explain to new people. You like to talk. You like to send emails. Use your skill to enhance people's knowledge. Don't just look for things and send things that doesn't involve us. Send things that involve us. It's very beautiful. You can extract things from the website and send it to newbies. That can be your job because you like it. Sometimes you have free time. Think, I like to do this. What can I do with what I like to help? Oh, yes. It's very, very nice. JP speaks well. So sometimes when you guys have meetings, JP can talk about Lama Tsongkhapa. He can do the readings. He can do his explanation. Why not? Everybody has their skill. Everybody. And so that if we're very good in our center, we know what to do, we're organized, and we have some basic fundamental knowledge like I gave you just now, we'll be able to take care of newbies. I'm giving you the method. I'm giving you the method that's very practical. Number eight, when elite, when wealthy, when people of status or name, they come to our center, how do we handle them? We say, write your check to Kichara House and no less than 8 digits and sign it. And they're not happy with that. Give them my passport name, Bercha Bugayev. If they're a journalist, tell them that Rinpoche's a Buddha. Write up about that. Put it in the newspaper media. When these people come in, let me tell you something. Everybody has a different view about people who are wealthy, people who are rich, or people who are of caliber, or people who have established, or people who are well-known, or celebrities, all that stuff. We have people like that in our group, and more people like that will come. They have worked very hard to get where they are. They have sacrificed countless hours. They have sacrificed countless blood, sweat, and tears to get where they are. And they have gotten where they are most of the time and maintained where they are through a lot of hard work, a lot of effort. So when we come to wealthy people or people that we know very well, that are well known, we respect them. We respect them because the deep fundamental respect we have for them is because they worked hard, they have established something, and we admire them. So we have a deep fundamental respect for people because we admire them. And on top of that, hey, you know, they have this, they have this, they have this, that's what I want. They can help. They can do things for the center. They can spread the center. If we always look at these people and victimize them, you have to remember something. We're in the Dharma and we do that to them. Imagine people who are not in the Dharma and how much they do that to them already on the outside. So people who are well known, people who are wealthy, people of a caliber would name a position. They get harassed by people on the outside all the time, asking them to do something for them. So when they come to the center and we sit there and victimize them again, that's not very good. Why is not very good? They need the Dharma too. So when they have something, we shouldn't always think about them and focus on them. We should have compassion for them, just like we have compassion for everybody else. Why? Not everything is going wonderful in Wonderland all the time. Not all the time. They have their sufferings and problems just like us. In fact, with respect, people with money, position, and name, and fame, they have more problems than us. They have more sufferings than us. Why is that? In order to get where they got to, more had to be sacrificed. And there's more jealousy and more expectation of them. Wherever they go, people expect them to dole out the money, dole out the connections, and dole out the help. And if they don't just give it freely, they're looked down upon. You can what? What commitments do they have? What do they have? So wealthy people, wealthy patrons, and people of name and position and fame that come to the center, any center in the world, we should realize that about them. They are people just like us, and they have feelings. And some of them, they may be very well known, and their feelings are kept deep inside because they've been hurt many times because of who they are, that people have used them many times. We cannot use them. We cannot. We have to be better than the rest. And in time, when they learn the Dharma, and they join in, and they see how sincere everybody is, they will help. Because everybody is kind, and everybody likes to help. They will help. We'll wait till they're ready. We don't wait in expectation, biting our nails. Ready? 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 No. No, they will help. Very much. So we need to respect people who are rich, who are wealthy, who are of high caliber, who are well-known, high-profile, for one simple reason. Everywhere they go, people expect things from them. Everywhere people want things from them. Everywhere is not easy. It's not easy. When I go to Ganden, when I go back to my monastic community, I get letters, I get requests that you guys don't know about all the time to help this person in school, help this monastery, build this, do this. All the time I get it. Now I get it more and more and more. So I know how it feels. I don't get as much as them, but I'm getting it. I've been getting it for years. I even get requests from high lamas to help certain divisions. And it's very hard to refuse them. Sometimes I have to. Some abbots of elite monasteries, I won't name any names, have written to me asking for help for certain, not for themselves, for certain departments. And I'm not able to. I get that all the time now. I've gotten it before for many years. So that's one thing. Second thing is new people who are of caliber and status. Caliber and status. And they have position and background. They have wealth. Some of them were born into it. Some of them had it their whole life. Some of them have carried themselves among other wealthy people. So they have a way of carrying themselves. They have a way of talking. They have a way of communicating with people. And sometimes it looks distant. And sometimes it looks arrogant. And sometimes it looks very aloof. It's not necessarily that. Different people at different caliber, different positions have to act differently because they are associated with different people. So when we see them, they may look like they want special treatment. They may look like they want special status. They want special care. Sometimes they do. And sometimes we need to do that for them. Sometimes. Why? In giving them something that they're familiar with, for some people, not everybody, in giving something that they're familiar with, their mind will relax. They will see who you are. That will happen. So what happens is we need to be very sensitive to these people because more and more of elite, wealthy, well-known, high-profile people will be joining us in the future. They will. And we need to take care of them just like we take care of everybody else. And we need to respect them. How do we need to respect them? By not having expectation that they sponsor and give and do everything. And whatever help we need and whatever we're in trouble with, they have to do it. No, we must respect them by not expecting that of them. Why? Maybe they're able to, maybe they're not. Maybe they have their hands tied by certain situations that we don't know about. But we can't assume, oh, you're rich. Oh, you're well known. You do that for us. You do this for us. You don't, you're bad. No. 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 Respect them by not having expectations. Talk to them without motive. Open up to them from your heart without an ulterior motive. If they're wealthy and they're well-known and they're high-profile, they'll be smarter than you and they'll be able to sense that better than you. And they have practice because people approach them all the time. So have an open heart. Be sincere to them. More will come. And with time, they will be just like one of the group. And they will practice. And they'll open up their heart. And when they can, they will help. Every single person in this room thinks, how can I help? They will help because they're people too and they're warm. How can we win people like that over by respecting them, by giving them Dharma knowledge, by being friendly with them? And if they're brought in by certain people, they're comfortable with certain people because they sometimes feel uncomfortable with other people because they don't know what's the motive. So if they come in with certain people, we should leave these people to those people. We don't have to stick them with the buddy group. Oh, guess what? Guess what, Dan Sri? You're in the buddy group and Chia's going to take care of you this week. We don't need to do that. Why? If they were, let's say that Mrs. Ngao brought in a Tan Sri, a minister or something for Dharma, then we don't need to set this up with a buddy group. We need to make an exception and say, no, Mrs. Ngao, you take care of them. You introduce and you do your thing and we don't disturb. And if we want to ask them anything or we need to do anything, we ask Mrs. Ngao to talk to them. And Mrs. Ngao will advise us and bless us and say, it's okay to talk. Oh, not right now. Oh, they're new. They're very comfortable. No, they have other commitments. And whatever Mrs. Ngao says, we follow. We don't bypass Mrs. Ngao when she's in the toilet writing her phone number on the wall and say, oh, Dan Sri, can you help with KHEC and be the very main top sponsor? You collect merit too. Sri will be really fast out of that door. No, we don't do that. So if Mrs. Ngao brings in a Dan Sri, we let Mrs. Ngao handle because it's her friend, it's her people, and she knows what. And we should respect her. If she trusts us to bring people of high profile in who's very sensitive, then we must respect her and go through her and never bypass her. Never. That will be good for every center that brings in sponsors, bring in high-profile people or whatever. We should always respect them And we should respect their friends that brought them in and always go through their friends. Every center will benefit from that. Because if you have a committee members, the treasurers, and all these people, like vultures swooping down on this one person, how will this person feel? They are a person too. They are a person too. So to take care of elite people, how do we take care of them? We treat them like everybody else with a little more respect. Why? It's a lot of effort for them to come. And we treat them with a deeper respect by not approaching them and not having ulterior motives, by being ourselves. By being ourselves and not having expectation. And they came with a friend, we always contact them, VIA their friend. Yes, it gives them peace, gives everybody peace. It's very, very important. That is very important to learn for all of us. And so when we respect them in this way, then we can give them the Dharma. And in time, when they're ready, they will help. They will help. This is not an easy issue to talk about. It's a sensitive thing, but it has to be talked about. And because it's important in Dharma Center. All Dharma Centers need high-profile people. All Dharma Centers need wealthy patrons. Why? It is on their basis that the center can grow for everybody else. It is due to their kindness that the rest of us can sit back and do our meditations and retreats and practices and not worry about anything. It is due to their kindness. So we need to be kind to them. We need high-profile people. We need. All centers need. But that need must be done with wisdom, skillful means, compassion, and respect. So, that is what I have to say about elite and wealthy people coming to the center, for every center. That's very, very important. Very, very important. Okay. The next thing that, for that, and important thing is, along with that is, when the Lama goes for Dharma teachings, when the Lama meets new people, the support system must be there. If you want your Lama to meet people and give private interviews, if you want your Lama to do divinations, if you want your Lama to go for public talks to Malacca, wherever, if you want your Lama to go anywhere, then the students, the committee must set up. You cannot expect the Lama makes a decision and packs up and do this and that. The committee or whoever's in charge must confirm the itinerary for the Lama. Go check out the premises. Go look at the premises and see how it's set up. See if it's air-conditioned, what is necessary, what needs to be hung up, how it needs to be done. How you set up before the Lama comes, give them an impression of what kind of Lama is coming. If you just put a toilet seat there, sit on that, and give a Dharma talk, well, how are they going to treat your Lama? And how they treat your Lama is how much they'll respect the Dharma your Lama will teach. How much respect the Dharma that's going to be taught by your Lama is how you set up with the Lama. If the Lama comes in, sets up everything himself, takes the phone numbers down, writes down, and has a snack with him, and has Siggy Bud, and then he comes in with his robes and grandly sits down and says, "Hi, I'm Lama Rinpoche." Looks like a scam. The Lama should never be seen. The Lama should never be heard from. The Lama should never talk about anything that the Lama is talking about right now. The Lama should talk only about Dharma. Only. Only. And that's how you promote your Lama. It's not a cover. That's the way it should be. But in countries like this where Buddhism is not in the mass consciousness, we don't know how to do this. So the Lama has to explain. So therefore, before the Lama goes someplace for teachings, you must connect with those people. And within the center, go to the proper people to do it so it's organized. And the place must be scouted and seen. What needs to be put up? It needs to be clean. How many people with seats? And find out what subject that should be taught, what materials need to be there, what needs to be set up, what tankas to be put, what thrones to be put. Everything should be set up. And then the driver should be provided. The place to change your clothes if possible. And then the Lama should be escorted in. And then people should, the students and friends and the supporters and the sponsors or whatever of the Lama attending Dharma Talk should arrive before the Lama. Should arrive before, not after. If you arrive after the Lama, it shows your blatant disrespect. When you show that blatant disrespect to your Lama, then the new people you're trying to impress, how will they feel? Oh, all your members come after the Lama, is it? It's not a matter of respect that your Lama will be upset if you don't respect him. No, it's not. It is how people will view you and your center. So if we're supposed to be at a certain place, you arrive late and leave early, how does it look? And then you say, oh, I want to practice Dharma. I want to practice Dharma. I want to do it. 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 And then when you have a chance to do it, you don't do it. There are times, traffic, accidents, weather will make you late. Yes, that's understandable, but not chronic, not chronically. No. So when you, especially on the outside, when the Lama's coming, you should be ready. You should line. You should be organized. Someone should be out there and say, oh, the Lama's arrived. Oh, the Lama's coming out. And then when the Lama's coming in, make sure our members are there to escort the Lama. This is for any center, any center. And then escort the Lama to the seat. And then the new members and the people who invited him, you should explain protocol to them and say, oh, this should be done. This should be offered up. Akata, you do it like this. You sit like that. The procedure will be like that. Explain to them so everybody's not sitting around looking around doing what? Even if they don't fully understand, the mechanics of it at first will be very helpful because everybody would like to respect tradition. Very important. Not the Lama comes in, you're late, you rush, the car is smelly, you slam the door on the Lama's foot. That happens, you know. You don't know the kind of clowns I'm surrounded with. Or you forgot the Lama's robe. The Lama shows up in his underwear, you forgot his robe. I mean, you know, how does it make the Lama look? Or you always, I'm saying I'm sorry, or you're bringing things to the table in front of people, you drop this, you drop that, you forgot this, you forgot that. Some people even try the Lama's food with a spoon and put it back in and give it to the Lama. I have people doing that. How does it look? What does it say about you? I have people doing that. I tell them, no, thank you. I have people doing that all the time. What's the image you're portraying? Why put your Lama on the throne prostrate and oh, wah, 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 and then behind the scenes, you treat your Lama like a slave, a monster, a fiend to be locked up in a dungeon. Why do you treat your Lama like a fiend to lock up in a dungeon? Your Lama's got to SMS you, ring the bell, throw things, and scream down the hallway, and then you wake up, oh, hi, what do you need? No, that's very bad. And to have the Lama be chase you all the time. When the Lama gives you an assignment, he's got to SMS you and chase you again. Is it finished? Is it finished? And you have all kinds of lame excuses. All kinds. Your neighbor's auntie's dog died. That's why you couldn't finish. You washed your clothes and you mixed the white with the color and the, you know what? All your clothes are pink now so you can't show up. All kinds of lame excuses. And to have the Lama chase you and remind you and ask you about an assignment shows very clearly you do not want to work for the Lama or in the Lajrang. When the Lama chases you and has to ask you, it is very clear you do not want to work for the Lama, that you're there for another motive. It's very clear. Very, very clear. And if you have personal problems, of course people have personal problems. Things happen in their lives that you can't make it for the Lebron, you can't do this, you can't do that. Of course there's problems. But the secret here is not to make your problem everybody's problem, but to solve your problem and put in a temporary or get in a substitute. You don't tell a Lama, oh, guess what, Lama, I can't make it, I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't do this because my fan doesn't work. You don't do that. You say, oh, Rinpoche, I can't do this, I can't do that. But I got this replacement. They're going to do this. I already instructed them. They know what to do. Oh, very good. Why? Human tragedies happen. Of course they happen. But to always leave it for the Lama, for the Lama to do? No. Definitely not. Since some of us think, oh, well, he's not my Lama. He's my friend. I don't think there's a Lama. He's my friend, so I don't have to treat him like a Lama. That's okay. But the other people associated with you, they don't think of your Lama as their friend. So when you treat your Lama or think your Lama as a friend, you make yourself look bad because everybody else doesn't think of him as a friend. So how will it look for you? Yes, he's your friend. He's not everybody's friend. For some people, he saved their lives. So you have to think. So when you have these outer gatherings, the people must go there and scout and look to hang up the appropriate tankas, the appropriate necessities. Why? I'll tell you why. Because a Lama can't do it without all his accoutrements? No. Because it gives a whole vision, it gives a whole feel, it gives a whole atmosphere to the people who are new, and you just go, wow. And that will help them to go into the Dharma. It will benefit them, even if it's for one night. The transportation to be provided. Make sure the car is clean and not smelly. Make sure the lights work. Make sure the windshield wiper works in case it rains and a Lama doesn't die in an accident because they couldn't see. Some cars that go into, I'll change you next week. I'll change you next week. I'm like, oh God, when can we get there? And so the car's coming out, the windshield wiper, one light's broken, the car smells like, you know, a dumpster, and then His Eminence is here, and people are like, oh, welcome, Your Holiness. What, how's it look? You think? What's the image you're trying to portray? What is the image? The lama doesn't really care. I'm talking about all centers. The lama, a real lama doesn't really care what car he comes in, whether it smells or not, whether the tankas are hang up or not, or whether you follow protocol. A real lama anywhere in the world doesn't care. But the people who are going to see the lama care. So the lama cares for them, not for himself. The people who are going to receive teachings from him care. And first impressions count. So if you have bumbling weirdos hanging around the lama, windshield wiper not working, the car smells like a dumpster, they forgot this, they forgot that, the lama's attending teachings with his underwear because they forgot the robe, or they slammed the door on the lama's foot, or the lama's got to manipulate the umbrella, hold his bags, open the door, close it, or everybody's over there locking up and they're taking their sweet time, the lama's standing over there sweating in the heat, open the door, open the door, open the door. No. And then when we go to the teachings, everything should be available. Why am I asking for this? Why should all lamas ask for this? Let me tell you why. We're moving to the next level. We're moving to the next level. I'm not asking a bunch of slaves here. I would like slaves. I would like assistance and help. But that's not what I'm asking for. I dare not. I'm asking for us to have the right image. Because what do you have here? Do you have a Tibetan lama? Or do you have a car salesman? Used car salesman at that. What do you have? So what's the image you want to promote? So whether the lama drives up in a beat-up old little Proton built in 1979 or drives up in a big, beautiful white Mercedes 2006 that costs $5 billion, for the lama, he doesn't care if he's a real lama. If he's a real lama. But for the people, they walk, they go, oh. It makes an impression. Why? The lama's saying, hey, if you do this practice, it works what? If you do this meditation, it works what? If you pray to this Setra Protector, it works what? Now, the lama shows up in garbage bags with smelly people and weirdos and say, if you pray, it works what? They say, no, thank you. I think I'll join a Namo Rehengyo. Namo Rehengyo, Namo Rehengyo. They used to tell me that in America. Join us. You can chant for your car. I said, I need a car. Because at an NSA practice, she told me, chant. I said, chant for a car? She goes, yeah, chant. I was like, oh. I never went. That's right. So if you put your lama in that kind of look and that kind of appearance and you put him in that position, how? That's the image you're projecting. Please do not get the wrong idea that I'm taking this opportunity to complain or I'm taking this opportunity to ask for a service or to be treated like royalty. I want to and I need it and I love it, but that's not what I'm asking for. All of us would like to be treated like royalty and respect and have servants and slaves running around taking care of us. All of us would. All of us. That's right, all of us, everybody, even Bonita, everybody. Mr. Ngao, he'll be having to massage his arm all day. He's massaging himself right now, wishing for a servant. May I have a servant? May I have a servant? That's right, girly wee, she knows what to do, take care of those ladies at home. That's right, all of us. And Koki, I tell you, he'd be sitting there like Maharaja, laying there with a fan, a banana leaf. He'd be like, yeah. Omani Pemehong. He'd love it. Doesn't he look like a Maharaja? And then next to him is another Maharaja with big dark glasses, and he's about Koki size, a little smaller. Two Maharajas sit in the corner with palm leaves, eating dates and grapes. And then Koki has all these fabulous, beautiful women surrounding him when Pearlie's not around. And when Pearlie's around, he sends it to Robert. When Liho's around, he sends it to Koki. When they're both not around, they send it to Henry. Well, that's right. Then we have Andy. All he wants is people who will listen to him say, yes, you're right. Mm-hmm. And then we have James. He has beautiful people around him. When Chris is not around. And Ben. I think you look like a pedophile. He has beautiful children around him. He doesn't do anything more, of course. He's a Buddhist. Just beautiful children. That's right. So my point is, no, that's not what I'm asking for. I want to promote the Dharma. I want to raise funds for the monasteries and support the monks. I want to do that. I really do. I want to build our retreat center here. I want our center to grow. I want to be a maximum service that I can to other people because I'm laying around, wasting away, getting more and more beautiful by the day. And I'm getting tired of it. You know how difficult it is to look in the mirror and say, oh no, another beautiful again. Can I have an eye bag? Can I have a wrinkle? Can I have some signs of work? It's tiresome being beautiful, but never mind. And I know the day that I'm not beautiful, I've got Henry to take refuge in. That's right, and his consort Angel. Can you see Henry and Angel like this? Angel's this way, Henry's this way, and then, you know, they got a needle here, and then, I don't know, something. Take refuge in it, make me beautiful. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. So when we go to debate, everything must be organized, and even when it's done. Your Rinpoche should never get up from the throne. Your Rinpoche should never ask for anything. Everything should be there. That's the image you show. And we can practice it right here. Right here, you treat me like crap, it's all right, we're all close, we're friends. We're buddies. We're buddies. Some of us, have eaten together. That's right. You want a tissue? You okay, huh? Yeah, that's right. And? So that's what we should do. And we should show people the protocol, what to do. If we do that, because that's what we did in our centers. That's what I did for Geshe-la in our center. I show people how to prostrate. I show people how to make offerings. I explained who Geshe-la was. I showed them how to do the respect. I asked them how to. I taught them how to teach. They asked, "Oh, what can I offer Geshe-la? What's this offering thing? Why do I have to offer?" Because they're Americans, they don't know about that. I explained. I did all that. What I'm telling you now, I did that in my own center. And when His Holiness Kedja Sarangchi came to the center, I did all of that. I explained everything to people over and over and over. Geshe-la explained to us once how to serve Kedja Sarangchi. I explained it over to many people. I did it. So I'm explaining to you what I did. And I did that in my house in Ganden with my Guru Khyentse Rinpoche, who's now 79. I did that. So I'm not telling you that I want it. I know what to do because I've done it. And the image is very different. And you're thinking, well, this is Dharma. Why do we have to worry about image? Because in the beginning, people don't have deep Dharma. It's all about image in the beginning, at first. Then once they're impressed with the image, then it gets better. After that, they don't care. Like right now, you guys don't care anymore. Child sleeping in the back and say, cha, cha, cha. You're like, oh, whatever. We like Dharma Rinpoche's teachings. That's all. Nobody cares anymore. Why? Because you can see who I am. I can see who you are. And we're all right. But until we reach that stage, there's a gap. There's a gap. I'm quite easygoing. I'm not really into protocols. And if any of you have not noticed, I'm not really traditional. In fact, I used to wear shirts and just come give teachings. I wear this now because my guru sent a message. Wear robes when you're giving teachings. So I'm following his instructions. I'm sweating to death. I'm always hot. I've got this issue with hot robes. I wish I could get hot robes that's nice color, that looks good, and that stays firm too. But it's a very hard combination because, you know, I don't have a famous designer in the house. On the stairs, yes. Not on that. I do. Caught. If you make me a nice pair of robes, and it's really wonderful, and I'm really unhappy with it, you know what I'm going to do? I'll offer Jivan to you. Hair and all. And Roger Saul would be like, Namaste. After Jivan's gone, you think she's going to look for another boyfriend or husband? No, she's not that kind of girl. She'll remember Jivan for the rest of her life. She'll shave her hair and be a nun. Om Mani Padme Hum. That's fine. She's a very nice lady. So what happens is like that. We need to have this prepared. We need to prepare. And we practice at the center. We should practice. And you know, these days, whenever I come to the center, there's always three or four groupies, fans, hanging out downstairs. Waiting for me. One's holding an incense. I'm so scared they almost burned me a few times. Like, oh. Dear, when you're holding incense to Rinpoche when he comes, you don't stick it in his face and make sure he smells it. I got people holding incense like when I'm coming. I'm like, welcome, Rinpoche. I'm like, yes, thank you. I mean, what are you doing? Light my ciggy bud? You hold the incense a little distance away, and the incense shouldn't be just one little stick, and it's broken with a string hanging down, or some short little thing because you were in a rush now. The incense should be a whole packet, and packed well with a wrapping that's very beautiful, five colors, like the traditional type. Or you get the traditional incense type holder that's made of wood you can see in India. You can ask cutting rooms to get one, and then you can hold one incense stick like that, and then you hold it at elbow length like this in front of the Lama and gradually escort the Lama in. The signal is, I purify the place for my Lama to come. Why? So that I may collect the merit of purifying my karma. And gradually bring it in. And then the flowers. You know, people show up with these stalks of flowers. Some of it's dried up. Some of the petals that fell off, they're like, hi, Rinpoche. And I'm like, are you giving me a signal? Is that what I am? And then they have the katas. They all stand there on the street. You know, wearing Sunway masks where the car's going back and forth and the car in the back going, ah, ah, and they're in the street like, oh. Some of them go, oh, thank you. I'm like, but I didn't put it on you. I'm waiting for someone just go, hey, Rimuji, welcome. It's so scary. So you know what I do? Every time I come to the center, there's always three or four groupies on there with a flower that I'm probably allergic to, with a kata that's all wrinkled, standing there like, oh. We don't want to alert the neighbors, dearie. And then you've got the incense guy, you know, sitting there like, no, never get people who don't like Rimuji with the incense because they'll get me. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm like, ow. And I'm going to teaching. I can't get revenge. You know, I mean, what is this? We're in the middle. It's wonderful. It's nice. Every time Rimuji comes, we don't need to do that. Only on special occasions. Why? I'll tell you why. We don't have our own ground. We don't have our own play yard. We're with neighbors. We need to respect all the people all around us so we don't freak them out. I know you guys show respect. It's very nice. But show me respect by organizing the committee, taking care of the newbies. I would love that. So only on special occasions. How? The kata doesn't need to be offered every time. I just saw you yesterday at the mamak stall. Today you're like, ah, yo. Why the mamak stall I don't get kata? Why my face was? Then in the middle of the street with the cars honking and people going back and forth, the ladies are shopping with dogs. They're like, oh, my welcome. Oh, and sometimes the kata is like this. Oh, and then I show up, they're like, oh. By the time they unravel it, I'm upstairs. Sometimes I get up to the center. My private door is locked. I'm like, who is it? It's Rinpoche. Oh. I mean, come on. It's really funny. I don't get really upset. I think, ah, yo. You know, a few times I will go up to my private entrance. Who is it? It's the boogeyman. Who do you think it is? I'm in that door. Then I went, hi, Rinpoche. Hi. I'm not upset. I'm not begging you for respect. Let's get organized. That's all. Let's get organized. We can move to the next step. It sounds funny. It looks funny. It is funny, actually. It's quite funny. This is like a sitcom. People think I'm a paid actor to be a Rinpoche, and you guys are paid extras just to laugh on cue. They're going to think that. I'm telling you. But it's okay. Think what they want. I am Tem Rinpoche, and these are real students. So, we need to organize that. Let's practice at our own center. Okay, we make some mistakes here, but let's master it. Why? Because I want to look good for the public. I want to do it traditional, and I want to follow some protocols. Why? The protocols are not meant to stifle you or to force a Tibetan culture on you. No. The protocol is a way of gaining merits, of showing respect, and introducing your Lama to the world. And it's been set in a standard way for people who don't know how to do it. So I am not forcing Tibetan culture on you. No. No. It is just a way to systematize how to introduce our Lama to the world. How to show our devotion in a way that's time-tested in Ganden. That's all. So, that's all it is. So we should have that. So when I come to the Dharma Center, you don't have to be down there all the time. Just be nearby over there and then have the door open, please. Please have the door open. Or put a doorbell, ding dong. Or have a, you know, like a video machine. Hi, who is that? It's Rinpoche, hi. Who's that, Rinpoche? Oh, you can come in, thanks. Come on. And then when I go to places to teach, have it ready, have it organized. The committee should do that. I mean, these are things that committee can do. What do you show up once a month and you sit there and have a Coke and eat and then and go home? Come on. I'm sure the committee can do more than that. Come on. Please. Please, please. Yes, we can do that. Then, when the Rinpoche has given the Dharma talk, we should have organized people ready to distribute gifts. Not five people standing there like I'm going to throw at them like. And then I tell them, you know, come near and listen. I know you don't have bionic hearing. Give this to the man in the red. Give that to the man in the red. Can you give this to the man in the red? Give this man to the lady in the blue. Who? The lady in the blue. The lady with the dyed hair right over there. Oh, come on. Be alert. People who are assisting Renji, be nearby. Don't stand 20 feet away and I got to, you know, telepathically send you messages.
Give it to the lady in the red. Give the jump out.
Well, what do you want me to do? Hand signals? What do you want? Be alert. Assistants should be nearby, alert, and ready. Not wait for the Rinpoche call. You come. Image. Image is important. We're trying to promote a high Tibetan Lama. High. I want a throne so high I need to get on an escalator. High. Yes, it's important. Show them culture. Show them what's going on. Show them the value of the Dharma teachings. That's what it really is. The value. The protocol is to help you to elucidate the value. Protocol is to help you elucidate the value of the teachings. That's your catchphrase for this chapter. So, and after the teachings, there are plenty of people come. Make connection with them. Hi, how are you? I'd like to show you the center. Hey, what's going on? What's your email? I mean, maybe phone numbers are a little sensitive. You know, maybe the phone number is a little sensitive. The ladies go to the ladies and talk. The gentlemen go to the gentlemen and talk. It'd be very nice. It'd be very nice. So there's some nice, petite, sweet young girls hanging out there, and you want to bring her to Dharma, and Big Justin comes up, what's your email and number? Not a good image. So we have little sweet Wendy go there and talk, how are you? I'm from Kichara House, and I thought I'd update you a few things. I'd like to show you our NMC. Very nice. Very nice. We have things to offer them, NMC, our websites, and talk to them. So we have little sweet Wendy go and talk to them, another nice lady. No problem. Good image. Very good image. We have Wai Ming show up, the girl will run. She say, are you a race car driver? He'll say, no. What's with the glasses? That's right. That's right. We should think about that. We have a nice, sweet young girl there, and she wants to learn the Dharma. We don't send Liho's brother. Liho's brother, like, I knew it. When was my turn? Why don't we send Liho's brother? Because he's Liho's brother. What's wrong with that? Because they'll meet Liho, and she's a dingbat. Liho's been asking Robert for a divination whether she should get a bigger tower or 21 towers. Robert's like, whatever. I make the money, you spend it. Isn't that what marriage is about? Oh, Liho is a wonderful girl. Have you ever been to her? You guys should have new groupies and new groovies or whatever, groovies, groupies, groovies, all go to her house now. She's dying for guests. She's dying for her mate to have something to do. She's bored. Robert's always flying away somewhere looking for business and doing business and, you know, designing parks and all kinds of things. And she's at home like, oh, can someone come over and visit me? I want to teach Dharma. She's got a great house. We gave Dharma teachings there before we had a center. Now we don't need you. No, just kidding. Yeah. Like places like that, sometimes if they allow, we can have newbies go there and talk and, you know, have Dharma gathering. Be nice. Do you mind? Play Monopoly. When she's in town, that is. She has a Hong Kong apartment, you know, from her company. She'd give me the keys, but I haven't used it yet. I'm afraid if I walk in there, she'll be taking a shower. Ah! That's what we should do. We got to get all the protocols getting. We got to get it all done. And we got to prepare everything. Then we will soar. I guarantee you. You do these little things that I've talked about, we will soar. It's simply organization. Simply organization. Any questions about what I've talked about so far? Is that going to be a lot of material? Yes? Good. Is it going to be substantial? This thick? I'm tired of those thin little one-inch books. I want a book that's at least 4 inches. Tentuku. Oh, well, I'll put your names on it. I promised Jamie some weird, ridiculous that I'll make her a famous thing. Whatever, just get her into the organization and get her into that cult. Now she's like, oh, whatever, I don't care. Last time I said, I'll make you famous and rich. Your name will be next to mine. She's like, all right. Do I have to wear clothes that cover my body? For those people out there, we have a wonderful girl here, our Malaysian Paris Hilton. And she wears less than a quarter meter of clothes all the time on the top. And she gets away with it because she's a fabulous person. And we get away with it too. That didn't make sense, but never mind. Yes, we have a wonderful person. So but for Dharma teaching, she was told off by an ordained person once that she's a cover-up. And Paris like, all right, so I'll listen to you. All right, so any questions about what I've talked about so far? We've covered quite a lot of material. We have a lot more to cover. It's quite exciting. These are things we need to learn. Can you guys see how important all this is? Very, very important. All these things we need to learn. And I have more to talk about the center. The next will be protocols, other Lama centers, why not go. We're going to talk about advising people regarding centers. We're going to talk about sectarianism and how not to be sectarian but stick to our own lineage. We're going to talk about how a Dharma center that's related to a monastic institution like monastic institution like Ganden is different than a center that's not related to any monastic institution. We're going to talk about difference about that. We're going to talk about communication, transparency, to use emails, the SMS, notice boards, information to get it all out to the members. And that's what we're going to talk about for the rest of the sessions. And then after that, I'll talk about the relationship with the guru. A lot of exciting subjects. Do your best to make it. It's better to get it firsthand. For some of you who absolutely cannot make it, really absolutely cannot make it, please get the CD or VCD, whatever he has available, and listen to it to learn at home. It's very vital for our organization. All right? Care. Please care. Please push yourself out of whatever you're feeling and care. And if you care, care more. Why? We are genuine, we are good, and we're out to benefit. We don't harm. We're good people. So if we all get together, we can do it. I gave you some very basic advice, very rudimentary basic, but that can grow very big. That would be very beneficial. It would benefit every center in the world. Because we have this phenomenon of Dharma centers. Okay, so do we have any question? Do we have any question about any of this, please? Yes, Robert. Succession. Like when I drop dead, who takes over? Okay. I'm going to write it down now that you talked about it. It's very good. And you better be here since you suggested it. If you're not, I will look for you. I will be watching you. That's very good. I will talk about that. There's not a lot to talk about, but I'll talk about it. It's important. And succession planning. When our Lama passes away, what should we do? I will talk about that. When our Lama passes away, what should we do? In my case, I can't talk for other Lamas and other centers. In my case, I've given my instructions to Chao already. What to do? What pujas to be done? How many times? He has it all. So when I drop dead, you hear, you get an SMS, Rinpoche is dead. Send an SMS to Chao, what do we do next? You do what I have instructed first, and then you go and have a party and celebrate. So Chao knows what to do. To make a long story short, I'll talk more about it, but if it's required, I should be back. If it's required. But I'll talk about that more when we talk about it. Okay? And how to invoke our Lama. If our Lama is going to come back, what do we do to invoke our Lama's incarnation to come back? I will teach you. I'll explain to you. And that will help every center in the world. Okay? What makes our Lama come back? How do we make an incarnation come back? How do we find an incarnation? What's the procedures? I'll explain. And if the Lama has an incarnation, and what to do? Get him back, slap the kids left and right, pass it around the committee. Now we're going to get you. Whatever you do, don't pass me to David. Don't. He'll molest me and then he'll beat me up. I know it. It'll be, I'm going to get you now. I'll be damaged, but I'll go to Ganden for counseling. I was touched. But did that person who touched you, did that uncle who touched you want to touch you? No, they touched me just to put me down for revenge. I was touched and I need help. And can you confront your toucher? I'll try.
look at a picture of David. Ah. Omani pemehong. Ah.
That's right. And then after David gets his hand all over me and beats me up and slaps me, guess who they pass me to next? Crystal. No, you're going to get it! No, you're going to get a Nick Van Sant with my foot! You want to go back to Convent Monastery, do you? Recite 10 million mitzvahs now!
Couldn't you see little innocent Rinpoche, all cute and big starry eye, like...
Then after Crystal finishes with me, they'll pass me to Wai Ming, but it's just for a minute. The minute it passes to Wai Ming, I come out of his room, I'm wearing his glasses. That'll teach you to talk behind my glasses, you monster! Now try to get me back! And little Rinpoche got black and blue marks with his mala reciting Mixama, who was touched by David, and with Wai Ming's glasses. Can you believe it? And then they pass me over to Joy. And when they pass me over to Joy, guess what? Justin does up my hair. I come out with a reggae look. With his glasses, with my mala, and touched. Can you imagine little three-year-old Rinpoche with reggae hair? What's your name? I'm Bob Marley. And then after Justin finishes me with my new hairdo, three-year-old incarnation with the reggae Bob Marley look, they pass me over to Andy. You want to hear a story, Rinpoche? Rinpoche would be his hair, because I was like...
No. Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm, yeah, uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. And after Andy, but Rinpoche's smart, he brought his earplugs along. Is that earplugs you're wearing?
Oh, no.
Then after they finish me off with Andy, guess what? Oh, my God. They pass me over to Auntie Millie. And then they never see me ever again. Millie explained me to death, and I willed myself to take another incarnation. They found my body. They found my body by Amkok Mall. You know Amkok Mall? They're the lake they're thrown in there. Oh, my God. And my new incarnation comes back. And when my new incarnation comes back, you know, it's 3 years again. Pass me over to Mr. Ngao. He gives me a brand new haircut. He's got hair here, nothing here. I'm like... Jeez, all this revenge taxes. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? And then after Mr. Niles finished me, I got this brand new haircut. Not more Bar Marley, thank you very much. I look like Groucho Marx now. They passed me over to Irene.
Now, Rinpoche. Bless everything in this room so I can sell it to build your center now. Bless it, Rinpoche.
I'll be blue. I will be selling it. 3 million for that. 2 million for that. 988,000 for that. 188,000 for that. And Rinpoche's in the other room. And then she ran out of things for me to bless, so she gave me a balloon. This is Irene running in the other room. That's what happens if Rinpoche comes back. I know you guys are going to get me. I know it. I just look at all your evil little beady eyes going, come back, Rinpoche. Reincarnate back for the sake of all sentient beings. Come back. We love you. And Rinpoche's like floating above his mother thinking, he's like, maybe it's a trick. And he looks down at Kitchener House, all of you think, oh, money, pimo, money, pimo, money, pimo, money, pimo, money, pimo, money. Then Rinpoche uses his astral body to gauge, oh, money, pimo, home. And Bill Keith was very nice. He wrote a note, don't let them fool you. They're going to get you. You see, I haven't done anything to torture Bill Keith yet. So he writes a little note. So I'm in my astral body floating, you know. And looking at my mother and thinking, should I enter her beautiful body and womb and take rebirth and benefit all sentient beings? And everybody, I'm looking at Kichara House, everybody's like, oh, come back, come back. Oh, Mani Pemehome, home. Oh, Mani Pemehome, oh, Rimachi, oh, Mani Pemehome, home. Oh, Mani Pemehome, home. Come back. And they're thinking, he's like, come back, come back. And then Paul and Wendy and Jivan Rajaswari, they're all in Protector Cetra's room. Oh, my God, 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 come back, come back, come back. And the only nice person is Bill saying, don't come back. They're going to get you. They're going to get you. And then guess what? Guess what? Bonita catches Bill. What's that piece of paper in your home, Bang? And Bill's like, nothing. Nothing at all. And Rinpoche's like, there's 300 of them say come back. And there's one with that note. Nah, Bill must be insane. And the minute I come out, can you imagine? The minute little Rinpoche comes out, can you just see it? Can you just see her? Girlie would be like, do you want some milk? So I'm like, that's enough. Then I get fat. Did you poop again? And I'm like, so that incarnation wheels itself out and it comes back again. And this time it's born in Japan. Thank you. And then when you come and say, oh, Rinpoche, you put 3 Tara statues out. You put 3 stupas here. Say, pitch yours. And that was mine. That's mine. I go, oh, it must be that one. No, that's the wrong one. Oh, let me see. It must be that one. You failed the test. Oh, well, I don't get to go to Malaysia. I'll have my last laugh. You'll see. I'll have my last laugh. All right. So no questions, right? Succession, that's a good one. I'll talk about that. Succession, death, what happens. I'll talk about all of that. Yes.
Is there an official written down protocol on how to treat the Lama, like explain 4.9, how to score the Lama and all that? Like,
how to exploit the Lama? That's what I heard, how to exploit the Lama. Dear, I've been exploited enough, thank you very much. This arm that's sticking out like that, you should make it like this, so that doesn't stick out of the pendant too much. Let it be bent. It doesn't have like that, you know, it can be like that. Like kind of Vajrayana's arm, like that. A little bit bent so it won't stick out much, it'd be better. And the tail of the horse, more in, is okay also. So it doesn't stick out like that, it could be like that. Oops, I broke it. Never mind, it's not my problem. Oops. Okay, yes? Exactly like we do with the kata and the incense, all that stuff. Exactly, but in the procession. Oh, no. You see, special dishes and all that stuff, that's up to the individual lama. If the lama is as big as a boat and they need to lose weight, well, you give them fruits. All right? So if Koki is Koki Rinpoche, give them fruits. I mean, those are individual. There's no specific protocol for that. All right? If the Rinpoche is, is maple, all right, you make sure you put nasi lemak there, you put momos, you put bao bread, you put peanut dessert, you put everything there. Make sure she eats, you know, before she leaves. That's right.